You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm super excited and honored for today's guest. We're shooting off-site right now, so we got some really cool things happening here and some really awesome people that I'm meeting, and I've got to run into a good friend of mine, Adam Lewis Walker. He's here all the way across the pond in the house, and we're shooting on Making Bank. So Adam, welcome to Making Bank, man.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, awesome to be here.
So super excited. I know you got a book coming out and everything else, but for everybody that doesn't know who you are, maybe like that 1%, tell them who you are and what you do.
Okay, so I just want to clarify as well, when you say across the pond, definitely across the pond to the right, like England, 90% of people think I'm Australian. I don't know, I got a weird twang or something, but like, yeah, so I live in the States now. I'm a mindset coach, author, speaker. I'm all about, as we're going to talk today, awaken your alpha. I'm like the 1%, straight away it makes me sit up, I'm just like, yeah, that like, this I can see why we're
the sitting alpha.
Yeah. I'm just all about that, and I just love seeing, we've been seeing it a lot recently, and there's like in the last few days as well, when you see someone, you know, using their gift and when they slip into what it is they're meant to do, in like you're in conversation and they're like, you know, you can see them and they're, you know, awesome, and then all of a sudden it slips into their area of genius.
Right.
And I'm just smiling just because I don't have to ask what they do when it just, and you're just like,
oh yeah.
I see it. It happened last night, and the guy was like, what are you smiling at? I'm like, I'm just watching you do your thing. It's awesome to see. So that's what I want for everyone. And I think that's what a lot of problems come from. Just, you know, putting square pegs in round holes.
Right.
Like, what is awesome for you might be like my worst nightmare and vice versa. So I think that's always important, and to not look down on other people because for their choices they make, and then not think, oh, I'm like the bee's knees. I'm the best thing here, because like people rightly said, oh, I don't like the sound of that, and vice versa. Like, it's not my cup. So that's what I'm all about. I mean, the quick summary as well: podcast Awaken Your Alpha is 4.5 years old, awesome. Which in podcast terms is like that's an old one.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's getting there. I found out I'm a podcast veteran with that kind of stat.
It is.
It's 326 episodes as of shooting today. Cool. Downloading, like last time I checked, which was a long time ago, downloading like 140 countries. Yeah, I get to interview the world's most inspiring alpha mind, the top 1%, and just really get their tools and tactics and strategies for success. And like, what can we use, or like, what can you take from it to impact? Not to think, oh, I'm very knowledgeable. Like, oh, that's, I know all about success.
Right.
Like, I prefer to know like 10% about success and action it. But that's, so I think that's, I'm all about action, momentum, mindset, and getting that momentum. I've had momentum, I've lost momentum. And I think I don't underestimate momentum now, because sometimes when you've got that momentum,
right,
you can think, ooh, this is not too bad, it's quite easy.
Sure.
And your foot comes off the gas a little bit and you don't do the things that got you in that position. And then all of a sudden when you lose momentum, getting that steam train going again is a whole different ball game. So the podcast, say 4.5 years old, Awaken Your Alpha, the TEDx talk 2 years ago, Your Alpha, and now kind of coming full circle. This is out October 3rd. You can pre-order now, depending on where you're watching this. And there's some launch bonuses for definitely before the launch, and maybe a few days, depending on when you see this, we'll see what we can do. But this is 1,000 Tactics to Thrive, taking over 300 interviews with the world's best and just pulling out the good stuff. It's all good stuff, but like trying to get some like clarity of what is Awaken Your Alpha. Like, okay, I don't want to go and listen to 300 episodes now. So okay, this book, you know, 200 plus pages, just around there, and 31 actions, literally from each point, from each story. It's a legacy book. Like, you know,
that's cool.
Yeah, so I'm over to you, but that's what I'm all about. And I'm just feeling good that I've gone deep into one thing, because you know, I get excited. You know, there's lots of things you can do, and you can do anything. You just can't do everything.
For sure.
And so I'm just getting to that point where if you stick with something long enough,
right,
getting to, you know, digging into that mastery of, you know, really getting to that point where, right, I need to share the gift and what I found and just try and, I hate the word try, and make an impact.
Definitely. Well, no, that's super cool. What what was it that turned for you that really got you on this journey?
Yeah. So I was, again, we didn't mention the background, but I was a PE teacher, for almost, well, kind of 10 years. The last few years was the transition phase, which was painful. Like, I wasn't an entrepreneur. I wasn't an employee. I was in the limbo spot. And again, I got kind of too comfy, like, oh, if it didn't work over here, that's okay, because I got my foot in here, but it's not going to. I was a part-time in two things, which is horrible, because, like, you're not a professional in either. You're a part-timer, an amateur, and I just, that was a tough time. So whenever anyone's in that, like, oh, I just have to wait till it's perfect and this and that, you got to make the call, and there's no right or wrong,
sure.
But you got to, when you just get to the point, you're like, nah, like, pull the band-aid off, like, make the call, commit, and that's huge. And again, through interviewing and speaking to people, that's one of my struggles and weaknesses around that was I always had a good backup plan, which is great for your parents and for, like, you know, peace of mind. And yeah, you're not gonna go hungry, but how is that gonna propel you to success? And you know, you hear so many people where my back's up against the wall, this had to work, and I never had that. And I kind of, to a point, I just got so frustrated that I kind of burnt my bridges and engineered that. Because kind of,
I knew it was, in that position.
Again, everyone's different. That was what was missing from me. You know, it was always said for as a positive. Oh, you know, if it doesn't work, like, I've got this. I've got my back, my plan B. But I got stuck in that for far too long. So back to the story. So I was a pole vaulter and a PE teacher, which kind of perfect lifestyle for that. Trying to get to the Olympics. That's what I was. All my energy went into that.
Wow. That's
and
cool.
Then 2008, I spent 5 or 6 years since I got my record, my personal best at 21. And I just got kind of back to final sense, back to where I was when I got tore my groin at 21. And big competition. You can go look at the TEDx talk. I'll summarize here, but it was kind of all about that as well. Basically, I lost perspective to a certain degree, but I went right. I want to get that medal regardless.
Right.
Because you kind of think sometimes you're invincible until you realize you're not. It was horizontal rain in England, and never had any knee problems. And ultimately, fourth place is the worst spot for an athlete because I wouldn't have that A medal of any color.
Yeah.
And slipped on takeoff, tore my ACL, dislocated my kneecap, tore all the meniscus cartilage off the bone ends, which is the worst bit of it.
Right.
I found out afterwards. And bruised the bone ends and literally felt like Mr. T, someone just knocked me out. It felt like someone just literally snapped the bone. Like, and I remember thinking, instantly, the weird thing, you know, when something really painful happens, you hear these stories where people are like, oh, the pain didn't kick in for a bit. It was like adrenaline, and then later it really started hurting. This was the opposite. This was how you'd imagine if someone just got your leg and just like,
right.
And I was screaming. I just couldn't stop screaming. And I remember it was the biggest competition I've been in. Lots of family members that had never seen me vault my entire life had like come out. And I just remember like out of body, stop screaming. And I just could not. And it was hell. It's like my, I would say it's my lowest point, but it's not, because it's the kind of the knock-on effect that that had that got me to, you know, a year later, even maybe slightly longer than that, as low as I could go based on the lack of identity and that I was a pole vaulter up to that point. After that point, when I'm like, oh, how quick can I get back? That kind of mentality, like, what can I do? Let me do some rehab.
Right.
Like, kind of send me down, like, don't think about how quick you can get back. Think about being able to play, you know, sports with your kids when they're
sure.
I didn't have any kids at that time, so,
right.
So I was like, oh, like, you know, okay, get some perspective here. Yeah, so that was like kind of lost, and that kind of around about what went to happen to kind of pull myself out of that in the coming years, kind of form some of the ideas in here, and like I want to learn from other people, and then like it's very individual of how to get out of them situations. There are some fundamentals for gaining success, leave clues, and if you're down in the dumps, there's things that may work for you that wouldn't work for other people, but it's about giving you options. And there are ways to work your way out of this. So, co-authored a book in 2013, where I was writing a book, and then I condensed it down to, you know, get involved with a big group of people, where I was one voice in that. And it was such a mix of, on paper, like, how can this work? And then it was only when I met them in person like this, and like, I'm from England, South England, and you know, was a teacher, and there's like a dentist who's 60 from Texas, and just like someone from Africa, just this mix, and you're like, I hadn't really thought about it, and I'm having these conversations like this, and I'm like, it's like we're, you know, from the same area or something.
Right.
That's when it kind of clicked, like, these conversations are awesome, like, and there's similarities, very different in application, but, oh, I can see why you've done what you've done. Like, there is a theme here.
Sure.
From all these people, and that's when I thought, kind of the origins of Awaken Your Alpha and these conversations, that then led on to, like I said, talk about a transition. At one point, I quit my job with two kids, because I was still like coach, I was teaching part-time, I was entrepreneur part-time, and I just like, I asked like my mentor at the time, I had a business mentor that I invested, again, putting it all on the line. His advice was don't quit, but then I went and quit, because I can understand why he said that, because he didn't want it on him.
Yeah,
and right. So it needed to be on me, because that was the whole point. So then I literally launched the podcast, the first, booked a guest in, and when I launched it, I didn't know this at the time, because never a perfect time, or now is always the perfect time.
Right.
Launched the same week as Tim Ferriss. You might have heard of that guy. He did all right, but so I think it's because I was in England this time, and we did really well. I got number one in iTunes on my three categories in the first.
That's awesome.
And I used to be ahead of Tim Ferriss in the mornings before America woke up, took the screenshot, and then,
And then he would come back.
and that just led me on to, I've always coached in some shape or form. The mindset sort of, when it all gets down to it, when I used to work with athletes, like, you know, even up to Olympic standard, I'm doing the strength and conditioning back in the day, so much mindset work.
Right.
It's all about that. And then more and more, just, I'm all about fine tuning. I can help people in all these different ways, but what's the best use? What's the most efficient use of your time? How can you have the biggest impact?
Sure.
And that's just, it's always an evolution of getting that, just, you know, it's just a work in progress.
So like you mentioned mindset, everything else, and we're, you know, different Olympic athletes and things like that. What were some of the strategies or things that you took away from that helped you kind of work through and overcome, you know, the knee injury and everything else to kind of get you back on top?
Yeah, I don't know if it's just been influenced by things we've heard recently, but I think, again, coming from, you know, going all the way through school and just being like so tied to pieces of paper saying,
sure,
tick, you've done this, and then going to university, getting a degree, tick, you've done this, now you can do it, we'll give you permission, tick, you've done this. I think, around that mindset, you are enough as you are now, but obviously I'm all about continued improvement. So
right.
But where you are now is exactly where you should be in your journey. Mm. I don't like this, I'm up here, like I'm a guru,
right,
and looking down thing. It's just different phases of your journey. Not better,
sure,
not worse, but that's, you know, that's part of your journey. So I think backing yourself, you know, and not beating yourself up because you're not where you think you should be.
Right.
And I think that's really important. And you just see it time and time again. Someone just come out of the gate and they back themselves. They've got talent, and then they don't rest on their laurels. They're just, you know, they're continuing looking to evolve and not complacent. And I think me especially, coming from that academic background,
sure.
And I was not particularly, I worked for my grades, kind
right
of thing. I had an older brother who, you know, he breezed through school. And he was super smart. And he literally didn't work for stuff. And I'm there working, and you know, it's interesting. I think, again, writing the book, you know, if I need to go back to my old school when I go back to part of the book tour to England. I worked to get my C in English. I mean, like,
right,
pass. Like, there was a few, like, my red flags, like, whoa, were kind of like English and maths. And actually, my maths is really solid for practical, usable stuff.
Right.
Like, I got all the stuff you actually need in life. You start putting formulas and stuff like that, like stuff that you don't use, like
every day, yeah.
Yeah, and well, I know people at the flip side, and they go a bit weird around basic, what to me is basic maths.
Right.
And same for English. I love, you know, writing in your own voice. I think that's huge, and I think part of the alpha and, you know, being confident in who you are and your unique ability and what it is you stand for, your special sauce, what makes, you know, even with the publishing process, you know, many reviews and rewrites, it's slowly just, oh, let's just take this word out and check this word would be better. And I'm like, well, I don't say that. I wouldn't say that. Just
sure
little things like
yeah
that. So I'm like, if you take one thing away from this book and implement it in your life to have an impact, in my mind, job done.
Right.
Publishers
sure
come in. And then it was like, mission accomplished. And I like, from you question it because they're like saying, oh, we go through and make sure, like, so it's very readable. And I'm like, mission accomplished. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's not me. Like, right. if you bump into me, I would say, job done. Like, that's, you know, mission accomplished. I'm like, nah, I can't, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just not me. So there's things like that, and you have to just, you know, stand your ground. And they're like, I explained, and they're like, oh, fair enough. And it makes sense. But I think when you're confident in your value and your worth, I think that's all part of being, you know, the alpha. And the whole concept of awakening your alpha is not to put others in your shadow, but to, you know, illuminate their greatness by, you know, by what you're doing. And it's not like, oh, look at me. It's just, you know, you do your thing. And then it will impact some people. It won't impact some. That's the beauty of it. Like, and that's why part of my thing with this is, and the value of stories, I wanted to have a really international mix.
Sure.
Because I get that someone from Egypt wouldn't relate to me as much as my friend in there, Rami, who's obviously from Egypt, and his story. I don't want to ruin it for you around the Egyptian revolution. He's a high performer. His mindset is what just stood out to me, and his story like inspires me. And just again, on paper, you're thinking, well, where's the similarities? Similarities even, but his attitude, more importantly, when it was hitting the fan,
right,
is outstanding, and it's literally identical to when he's thriving. And that's the key. Yeah. Like when it's all going well, you don't learn much from someone about, you know, yeah, I got this.
They're doing
it's
awesome.
When you know adversity comes, which it will for come sure. for all of us, that's right. when you need to, you know, you lean on strategies, practices that you're always in training. I think that's important because it's coming. It's coming for all of us. Not in like a watch out, like, but it's coming. It's life, you know. It's not to like have a meltdown when it happens. You know it's coming, and it's like, okay. You know, it's part of life. So
that's awesome. So in the book, pulling in and grabbing all the best insights from, you know, all these just from amazing alpha people that you were able to interview, what was some of the best pieces that you took away? You're like, man, I implemented this, and saw huge changes. You know, what parts would you want to steer us to?
Oh,
I know it's a huge open question.
This is what I like about, you know, it's. That's what I like, and feel free to like really hit me with specific ones because it's like so much to choose from, even with that consolidate down. But no, I guess
we can start with personal life and then maybe business. Yeah. I know we got a little bit of time left, so.
Yeah, so I think, and again, you may have heard this before, you may have not, but I think, you know, I'm not gonna make something up just to try and be different. The reality is, all of the guys in this book, yes, have some kind of mindfulness practice.
Mm.
Okay. Whether it's like full-on meditation, 20 minutes twice a day, sure. or whether it's, you know, just a swim in the morning, but just that quiet time under the water. And for me personally, mindfulness breathing, and it's, you know, some things, this might not come natural to you, and you might think, nah, and I like the way it's put in the book sometimes, and just someone saying it a different way, like, okay, so if you say to someone, it might, oh, do you do any meditation or daily, or mindfulness practice, people are like, what? But if you say, okay, do you have any quiet time? Once a day. Sure. Do you have any time to yourself?
Right.
Just a bit of quiet time to relax. Now, straight away, it is what it is, but it's how the perception and how it's, you know, I don't know anyone today's like, would you like some quiet time, dedicated quiet time to yourself daily?
Sure.
Just to get yourself saying, like, oh, okay. And for me personally, I really, and this is it, I think the key thing is experiment with different concepts.
Different stuff, for sure.
Because it's definitely not, and that's one thing, it's definitely not one size fits all. I want to get that really clear. But for me personally, I've tried to do this, and I really, just really works for me, the moving and breathing kind of scenario. Just a, you know, the simple like four-step kind of, you know, breathing in,
right,
breathing out with your steps. It's just that thing, and a lot of the times, and this is the whole point, I don't need to focus and think of anything. And that's kind of the point. I have a little route that I walk to the gym sometime, majority of times, and it's just, I literally turn onto this street, and it's just like, it's my anchor, it's like, it's just like, I got it like the Zen tunnel,
right?
And I literally couldn't tell you what happens from one end to the next. It's like a vortex, and I just love it,
cool.
You've got to find something like that, and for me personally as well, and it seems like I can't even remember the time, but I used to not be a morning kind of workout type person. I don't know if you might have flex, but used to compete, train in the evenings, pole vault. Definitely not a morning type trainer, but now if you think of all the benefits associated with that, so again, some kind of exercise activity, physical, you don't have to be smashing loads of weights. I think for men that's important to, you know, increase your capacity for work, because you know, I'm not necessarily looking buff, it's all about energy. That's what I'm talking about. So your capacity for work to, you know, achieve what you want to achieve. But for me, all the benefits that come from, you know, from some exercise, some physical activity, the hormones, the release of all that, for me, why put that at the end of the day when I'm going to bed?
Sure.
So it's like, again, this is just me, I really function better with, and it doesn't have to be a lot, but I'm really a big believer in minimal effective dose, MEDs, because it's excuse proof. Like, don't give me any like BS, it's excuse proof. Like when we're coming traveling, when we're going to places, you don't have to do 45 minutes, an hour in the gym. Okay, if you've got 20 minutes, 15 minutes, and I do it, and I have, you know, what can you do in 10 minutes?
Right.
And a lot of people, the attitude is, it's not worth it. I'll save it for the hour and a half session that they might do once a week or twice a week. But I prefer to, you know, the consistent daily things that will, you know, put you in the best state to perform for whatever it is you choose. So that's huge for me. And I mean, we're kind of going down the physical route a little bit there. We talked about mindfulness and, you know, there's like eating patterns. And now I've got the nutritionist from the England Rugby World Cup winning team of 2003. So we got him in there. We got Hollywood action star in there. Like, it was in ridiculous shape. And it's all about energy. Like, had been in fight scenes with Jason Statham and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so I got that whole perspective of just different people. Because, I've got some things to say. But, you know, to a certain extent, why listen from me on nutrition when I'm like, this is what I believe in. Because I've discussed and like at length with, you know, the nutritionist like that.
Sure.
This is what I'm putting in here. This is what I believe, and this is what I from this. This is what I've applied for the last 3, 4, 5 years, and this is my take on it. You can apply it slightly different, see what works for you. But it's powerful stuff, and I'm excited about it. And I wrote it for my boys. One day we'll be men with them in
that's
mind,
awesome.
And that's kind of what pushed me. Not pushed. I get the desperation pushes.
Yeah.
And inspiration pulls. And that's the difference, because same amount of work, if you work from a foundation of desperation, that will break you.
Right.
Same amount of work, but inspiration, that will just, you know, you will keep going and like you will push through. So I think that's important.
I think that's key, because, you know, a lot of times it's like, oh, okay, I have to go do this or whatever. And if you in that state, you're gonna wear yourself out. You're gonna get tired.
Yeah.
Whereas, like you said, if it's from that inspirational state, it's like, hey, this is something I love doing. I'm getting up every day. I have energy because I love doing it.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing it. It's my passion or whatever it may be for, you know, each individual person.
I jumped on something you said straight away, which I love.
Yeah.
Have to do it versus have the chance to.
Right.
And that same sort of word just played around, game changer. And that's like a lot of the world walking around with that kind of chip on their shoulder, but it's their norm.
For sure.
You make your norm, so this is why I'm hanging out with you. It's like you make your norm. Like this kind of conversation is normal in our world,
right? Yeah.
And conversations of, oh, let's just talk crap and whine and complain about our lives, that's normal in other people's worlds.
Yeah.
And you choose. It is a decision.
Well, you know, it was a conversation a few weeks ago. As one of the masterminds I was in, and we were talking about it was about language patterns.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you just picked up on it. I think language patterns. It gets the same situation, two different people, but because your language pattern is one way and mine's one way, two totally different experiences and outcomes and everything. And so I think, you know, it all kind of, if we can all kind of take it all back and say, okay, what is my daily language patterns even, you know? And, you know, how am I perceiving this, or how am I doing this, seeing this based on what I'm creating, you know, for in my mind. And even just, I was with David Bayer and everything, and it's just like, you know, they were talking about, like you just mentioned, complaining and going through a hard time. Well, but what is that really? Is complaining something that's really real? Or is it something that you're creating?
Where you focus, your energy goes. So you're literally pouring fuel on the fire.
Right.
Like, I don't like this thing, so I'm gonna make it way worse.
For sure.
What can we say? You know, there's lots of, I get it. And, you know, it's all about Everyone has a potential for greatness and has it's there. It's all about the states.
Right.
Like, there's so much stigma. It's all about the states you're in. It's not like you become like a bad person or you become this guy. It's you're just not in the right state. You are, you know, you are good enough. You are solid at the core, especially if you're listening to this or watching this.
Right.
You know, if you wouldn't be watching this unless you're looking, you know, to better yourself.
For
which
sure.
Which is the whole point. And so you just might not be in the right state today. Or, you know, you may have glimpses of like when you're like, oh, I'm in the zone, like I smashed it today. What did you do that day? Analyze it. And on the flip side,
yeah.
When I've had bad day or days, and when it gets days, that's when, in my opinion, you know, whoa, like alarm bells, because that's not normal.
Normal, right?
I think that people are like, accept things that, you know, are just, not that's a normal. Normal is like a load of crap, like, but that's not okay.
Right.
So when, a lot of times, you have things like, okay, this wasn't a good day. Like, I'm like not feeling like foggy head. Like, what's something's off? Usually, it's something simple. But who stops to assess that time? It could be, oh yeah, I've let my sleep slip a little bit, or like I just, you know, that extra hour of watching some crap on TV, or when I should have gone to bed, and I'm just, you know, it's just that lack of discipline.
Yeah.
But you do that a few times, and you're gonna feel like crap. So you're like, okay, let's not overreact here. Let's not beat myself up here. How about I just go to sleep on time, or you know, whatever your time is, and I'm not one who's like, go to bed at 8 o'clock, get up at 4 a.m. Like whatever, you know, your time window. There's certain things that, you know, you can manipulate and stuff. And a lot of times, you know, it could be what you put in here daily is more important than what you put in here daily. So, you know, a lot of times, again, I'm just like, it might be like, not losing my mojo, but it's just like not firing all cylinders. Oh, I haven't read from the right stuff
sure.
a few pages a day.
Right.
So easy not to do, but so easy to do. And so it's just like, again, don't make it too bigger than it is. Just like, once you're aware of these things, it's like, it's slightly, you know, that's where experimentation, like little quick fixes, and then, okay, eliminate that, or it wasn't that, or it was that, and you know, then you can, you know, go down. And I think sometimes if it's something bigger than that, it's the conflict with where you believe you should be, the alignment at this stage in your life, and so you're kind of like your map of this is where I should, and this is no one else telling you, this is based on whatever it is you believe, what social pressure, parents, family, whatever. Oh, you know, at this stage, I should be here. And you could be smashing it. It just happens. In your mind, you should have been here by now.
Right.
And it's not even like you're not going to be there, but it's just, oh, you've missed the timescales by 6 months or a year or 2 years or 5 years, whatever, so you're miserable. So, like, it's just you, where you believe you should be, and a lot of times, if it's, this is where I believe I should be, or I want this, what are my daily actions? Are they? Am I doing anything at present to even close this gap? Or am I just like, I want this. I was like, okay, cool. So, all right, this is NASA. You want to be an astronaut. Okay, how's astronaut training going?
Right.
Oh, I'm not doing anything. I want this. You know, I know people, it sounds a bit extreme, but they pick something that, to them and their daily current action, it's almost like they picked it because they believe it's unattainable.
Right.
So now again, it's something they can say, I'll be happy when. Which you can attach stuff if you really want, but my point is, okay, you've attached rightly or wrongly, that's what you believe. What are you doing about that?
To get there, yeah.
And you know, if that kind of goes a bit quiet there, it's not for anyone to judge, but it's like, do you really want it? And it's all about, we've all got, you know, we've all got priorities, and it's just not up on your priority list. And I think it's the thing of like, oh, can you do this? Or can, you know, if anyone's, oh, do you want to do this with me? Or can I do this? You know, I'm too busy.
Right.
It's like, oh, certain people have more things to do. No, it's just priorities. And it's, you know, we talked about language as well. And I think I slipped a little try in there by accident. and in some scenarios it does work, but that's one of my pet peeves in terms of like, okay, Josh, like this weekend, I love the clarity of, you know, when you're leaving your flight style. Oh, should we do an interview?
Right.
If you said to me, I'm leaving in like an hour or so, let's try and do it. I'd be like, okay, let's try. Okay, so if we try, it's kind of, we're gonna be sitting here. So like, but when people basically say try, I'll try and do that. Or like, do you wanna come for wanna go dinner tonight? I'll try and come. They're literally saying to your face, no.
No, yeah.
But it's kind of like a socially acceptable thing. I'll try, like, okay, well, let's run through. If you try to do something, well, usually it's quite simple, like, I'll try and meet you at the gym, or I'll try and eat, not eat donuts. You know, it's You literally, if you try, you get up, you walk, or you do this, it's going to happen. And I think it's just, it's that, you know, Yoda, isn't it? To quote the Yoda, you know, do or do not, there is no try.
Yeah.
I love the simplicity of that. I'm quite a simpleton, and I like to take complex things and just break it down to like, okay, what can we learn from, what can we apply, and, you know, what can we, you know, ultimately to be more fulfilled. I was going to say successful, more happy.
Yeah,
because success, sure, is defined by you.
Definitely. Well, cool. We're basically out of time. So tell us real quick, where can people go grab the book at?
Okay. So Amazon.com, but I think the simplest way, go to AYAlpha, as in awaken your alpha. So AYAlpha.com/book. And on there, awesome, there'll be bonuses. Again, I'm not going to whip them down. Like, if you've missed their launch date, I'll keep them up there for a few days. And this is not one of the, these, again, there's a place for everything, but this is not what I wanted to do this time at all. This is not one of these, like, I've written a book in 3 months type scenario. This is a legacy book. You know, I want this to be around for a long time and have an impact. I don't want this, you know, purposely, I haven't got my face on the front, because it's not about that. It's about the stories, the tactics that are in here. I didn't want to kind of like, you know, mix the message. This is going to have an impact if you apply it. You know, knowledge, lovely.
Right.
Applied in action, knowledge is power. And that's what this is all about. So I want you to get this. You know, if you don't like it, tell me. But get this, action something. What did you do after reading some of this? Not even all of this, because as soon as you start, there's 31 action points straight off the bat. And they're, you know, they're not things, oh yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. It's like, okay.
It looked like it was stuff you can take in action and do right now.
So yeah, that's awesome. And again, it's you can drop in at certain points, depending on like how you want to go, but there is a formula through it as well. It's not just a random collection of stories. Right. Like, oh, this is good, I'll put that in. It's, you know, it's solid.
Cool.
So yeah, please do come and check that out. And follow me on Instagram, it's always a solid one. Adam Lewis Walker, adamlewiswalker.com, ayalpha.com, across social media, Awaken Your Alpha, Adam Lewis Walker. You can find me
again.
Yeah, the podcast, over 300 episodes you can get. You know, it's that sort of stuff. Again, I think one of the Australians, they've got a nice, polite, slightly blunt way of putting things. One of my favorite interviews in there is like, if you say, I don't know what to do, he puts it in a slightly stronger language, but it's basically along the lines of, you know, you don't know what to do, buy an effing book, get off your ass, do something. Information is out there.
Yeah.
That is not it. You know, the podcast is the internet. There's lack of information is not the issue. It's about, you know, going out there. What do you want? What's important to you? If this resonates with you, go get it. You know, action these things.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to have this just big shelf of just books that look awesome and like someone's told you, yeah, and look, check out my books.
Sure.
Okay, how many have you read? Number one. What did you do from what did you take away from that? What did you action? I prefer you action 1, 2, 3 things than like, I know 20 awesome tactics.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell someone about how's it gonna improve your life by 1%? We're talking about 1%ers.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that really goes through the book in terms of like legacy, longevity. It's, I would take the little 1%ers consistently, because consistency is tough. You know,
it can be
tough.
Yeah,
as opposed to like, woohoo, and then because I know I've had the depression stuff, and I used to be a lot more, I seem quite excited now, I used to be a lot more up down.
Gotcha.
And like one of the biggest compliments my wife can tell me recently is like, you still get a little excited, but like it's not, and she used to be like, if one I got like super high, she'd be like, oh no.
It's coming down.
Yeah. So now it's, and I think we haven't, I know we're wrapping up, but the mortality aspect in a positive way, really, I don't think you should be like worried, concerned, but I do believe you should have an urgency for what it is you should be doing. I have an urgency, and there's a sense of relief that comes from getting this penned. It's massive sense of relief before it's anywhere near published. I literally said the conversation, my wife doesn't like me when I say stuff like this, if anything happens to me, make sure this gets out, you know? Anything happens to me, who's gonna explain to my boys like random topics that you'd like daily, telling as they grow up? Now I've got 300 audios plus of all these inspiring people talking about subjects like, and then this, they can just dive in, like in relationship, dive in on like finances, dive in on, you know, health, nutrition, and mindset. And obviously I plan to be there, plan to do so much more, but if this book gets anything to you, plans are worthless, you know?
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
Yep.
And it's all about legacy. And so there's some powerful stuff around mortality, and I won't, you know, ruin it too much, but stats, and when people say generic stuff, okay, you've got 20 guys in the book, in an 18-month period, if you, you know, what is the likely outcome in terms of mortality, you'd think that, yeah, that's, you're not all going to be there by the completion of the book, and you know, unfortunately, and it's just, and it's not a stat, I don't want to go into it, but yeah, a friend who's, you know, and again, not like the sort of person you'd imagine to have some, yeah, he's just taken too soon, and that genuinely that can happen to all of us. Like,
yeah.
I want to inspire you, it's that perspective, like, oh, we could die tomorrow, or, oh, we could die tomorrow, let's do this interview now, let's like make an impact, let's like, you know, let's crack on. So I just hope that comes across.
Cool, man. Oh, awesome. Hey guys, I hope you were taking notes. I mean, we learned from Yoda, we talked about language patterns, mentorship, you know, I want you guys to be able to figure out how can you awaken your alpha, you know, through Adam's book, through, you know, taking some of the insights that he's been able to extract from amazing people out there and apply to your life, those action steps like he talked about, applying one or two things and then moving forward on those and pushing those hard until you find what you're, you know, trying to awaken within yourself. So Adam Lewis Walker, I really appreciate you coming on Making Bank. Awesome here, my friend. And, you know, excited for your book launch here and supporting you and everything.
Awesome.
So
thanks for having me on. It's been an absolute pleasure. And anyone got any value, just reach out to me. Very approachable.
Cool. Awesome. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.